Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me on the set today is Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
Steven Rue.
Chomp chomp.
That's right.
You can't do that. It's copyrighted.
I thought we were going to go
copy you.
I thought we were going to go chomp and then chomp. So
no one can get into this
one. The double chomp. Let's go over what we're going to actually talk about on today's show. So Game Informer has a ton of coverage about Destiny's Forsaken. We're not talking about any of the spoiler stuff. I didn't want to be spoiled, and I started reading it, and I didn't think you guys wanted to be spoiled. So I don't know anything spoilery, so we're not going to talk about it at all. We don't have it in the show. What we're going to do instead is we're going to go over some of the new modes and such, and we're going to read about the 9 new supers and react to them naturally. So if you consider any of that stuff a spoiler, I do apologize. I thought that was the safest content to go over. And Steven, actually, you read the stuff and you're like, Destin, stop, stop.
It's very spoilery.
It is. They give away like the whole plot. I'm like halfway through. I'm like, I don't want to know this.
Yeah, it's actually really spoilery.
So, warning if you're watching Game Informer, and their coverage is excellent, but if you're worried about spoilers, just, I was about halfway through the notes on Reddit and I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm good. I don't want to see anymore. Let's talk about some of the cool stuff. So, Steven, thank you so much for helping plan the show today.
No problem.
There was a stream I had to cover right before this. We're going to be reacting naturally to this live. So let's talk about the new PvP mode, Breakthrough. We're going to get 4 new maps and a new mode called Breakthrough. And Breakthrough involves 2 teams of 4 fighting to capture a breaker, which will allow that team to hack the enemy vault. Once the breaker is captured, it turns to a attack defense style mode with one team defending their vault while the other team tries to hack it. This is the mode that I think a lot of streamers were talking about. Gambit, obviously, is the premier mode. Breakthrough was the secondary mode that we hadn't heard much about. It sounds like Capture the Flag meets Bomb, like sort of melded together, and I really like the sound of it.
Yeah, like one bomb assault from like Halo or yeah, something like that, or even, you know, Counter-Strike where you have CTs and Ts. And
yeah, you've been playing a lot of Counter-Strike, you said off-air.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing many, many hours of Counter-Strike for my whole life. But yeah, like in Counter-Strike, if you're not familiar, like there's counter-terrorists and terrorists, and the terrorists...
Terrorists win.
The terrorists have to try and attack a site, plant a bomb, and allow and have that bomb detonate in order to win. CTs have to stop them from doing that. It's really a tactical mode, and that's kind of what I was hoping to see a little bit more of in the PvP going forward in Destiny. It's just PvP that, you know, is fast and mobile and gun skill oriented, but also involves some tactics, you know, and some teamwork. And this seems like this could be that mode.
What do you think about this, Steven?
It seems promising. I just don't want it to be like Countdown, because I don't know about you guys, but Countdown's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it sounds cool. Playing is going to be a little different. I'd like to see Zone Control come back too. That was actually one of my favorite modes in Destiny 1 and Rift 2.
Refresh people's memory. What did you do in Zone Control?
So Zone Control is, there's 3 points, A, B, and C, and you get points on how long you control a zone. Kills don't matter. But if you have 2 zones compared to the enemy's 1, I think like every 10 seconds, you get 2 points, or you get a point for every zone you have. So that's pretty cool. I like that. But Breakthrough sounds awesome.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and Rift was the mode where there would be something in the middle that you would grab, and then you would go detonate it on the opponent's side.
Yeah.
Sort of like Capture the Flag with like an explosive element. It was good.
More like NFL. Like
yeah, it was football. Like yeah. Football.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say it was good. You got style points for doing it backwards. Like little things like that. It was fun, but I like this Breakthrough a little bit more. It seems like a new take on that and classic methods all sort of mingled together. And I'm excited to see them try something new as opposed to just like, hey, we brought back Rift.
Yeah. It sounds like it's not like an elimination game like Countdown,
yeah.
Which is my problem with Countdown because it gets so campy. You don't even need to play the objective in Countdown. You just have to eliminate the other team. This sounds like it's not an elimination game, so it could be better. I don't know.
Yeah, like we'll have to wait for more details, but what I'm really interested in is how that sort of attack defend phase of the match plays out. Like once you acquire the hacking terminal thing or whatever and you're trying to attack, you know, your opponent, let's say they successfully defend and your team gets eliminated, like, or you have that little terminal and they kill you, like do you drop it and does that reset the phase and you go back to trying to reclaim it, or is it like a you have X amount of time to try and detonate this thing, and if you don't, the round ends, and then we go back to an original phase. Like little details like that will really change the flow of that how that mode works. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear more, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Continuing on the notes side, there was a note here about mods. Mod overhaul features less conditions, such as subclass or specific weapon requirements, but rather allow for more specialized gear, so adding a mod that increases in-air accuracy or increased damage against vehicles. That sounds much better than the current mod system where all of your mods are totally meaningless. Like you need like 3 of them or something to even have an effect on your stability, for example. Yeah. I usually go counterbalance with my mods, but they're just whatever, you know. Or like the grenade mods, I think everybody puts on their armor.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me right now with the mod system is like I actually kind of like the idea of what a lot of the mods do. I just think like the benefit they add is negligible. Like if it was sizable and you could see like an instant change depending on the mods or if, you know, the statistics were percentage based and you can see those implementations like reflected in your character sheet like immediately upon putting them in, that would be different because I actually like the idea of like, oh, well on this encounter, like I'm really passive. So I want to stack grenade recharge energy, which is a mod that exists, you know, for class specific stuff right now. Like I like that idea.
Swap to the armor that.
Yeah, but it's just like whether or not that mod is in there right now, you can't tell.
Yeah. So, there's no visual indicator. It's just, you're either
you can't tell in terms of. You put the mod in there, and it doesn't really feel like your grenade charges all that much faster. Like,
yeah.
It's just negligible, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Excited about that adjustment. Ammo type is no longer directly tied to weapon slots. We kind of knew about that already. Many weapon archetypes are moving out of the power slot. Excellent news. Hawthorne's Field Forge shotgun, one of my favorites, is now kinetic.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about that because it's my heavy. It's my alternate for the shotgun that you guys got from Escalation Protocol. Hopefully they add some sort of matchmaking so I can just get 9 buddies together and enjoy the content the way it was meant to be experienced. Like that would be nice. Primary and secondary using green ammo, breech loaded grenade launchers, fusion rifles, shotguns, snipers, and trace rifles. That's sort of confusing to me. Can you explain that, Steven?
There's two different types of grenade launchers. I'm not 100% sure on which one. But I think like play of the game, I think is a drum loaded grenade launcher.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And a breech loaded grenade launcher, I think was the one we got to play at E3. There was like a delay. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I skipped primary, secondary using white ammo, auto rifles, bows, hand cannons, pulse rifles, scout rifles, sidearms, and SMGs. Oh, okay. So they're saying here's what's going to use white ammo. Autos, bows, hand cannons, pulse rifles, scout rifles, sidearms, and SMGs. Here's what's going to use green ammo, breech loaded grenade launchers, fusion rifles, shotgun snipers, and trace rifles. Here's what's going to use purple ammo or power ammo, drum loaded grenade launchers, linear fusion rifles, rocket launchers, and swords. So there is clarity on the color system and how they're going to work now, but they're going to be all over. I think that's going to be the hardest thing to translate for players. I know it was when we played the intro mission at E3, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, truthfully,
it wasn't finalized there, though. We know that.
Yeah, truthfully, just looking at this list, it seems a little confusing to me.
Yeah.
Like, maybe once you get used to the new weapon system and are playing it and have weapons and loadouts that you use regularly, it'll be easy to identify, like, oh, by, like, looking at a box type, knowing what guns it'll refill.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it seems like, I don't know, I have to think about what ammo I need.
Yeah.
And by like remembering what weapons are affected by which weapon type, which ammo boxes, like that sounds a little convoluted, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get away from primary special power and just think of like you have three weapons and then the white goes to this weapon, green goes to this weapon, purple goes to this weapon. Mm-hmm. So it's like it'll be like super, I think, at, like you said, after we give it some time, I think it'll be supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, main ingredient is now in the energy slot. That must be important to you because you put it in there. Why main ingredient?
Oh, I just
put to it, troll CJ. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that's
he like wise. He likes Wizen more.
Yeah,
I know from experience.
That was just in the notes. I just put it in there, but that's pretty cool. Fusions are in secondary slots now, and the fusion rifles in Destiny 2 are pretty insane.
Like, yeah, they're pretty
really good.
There's a few.
PvP
really
is going to be very different come September.
I mean, they in Destiny 1 they were secondary.
They
right?
were, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, totally. All right, so we're going to move along to the next segment where we kind of read about the supers. None of us except Steven have actually read about them, so I kind of wanted to get a natural reaction to the nine new supers that are coming with Forsaken. And I want to give a note right before we do that. Fran and CJ obviously not here on the show today. Really happy to have Sean and Steven on. That's because we're all sort of traveling for work, and one of those things is GuardianCon. GuardianCon is right around the corner. We're going to be doing a live Fireteam chat on Friday at 5:30. So be sure to stop on by and say hello, enjoy the show, and hang out with us. Now, guys, let's get into the supers, starting with the Titan.
Yeah,
Sean, Titans do you want to read life. The Titan? That's your favorite, right?
Sure, yeah. I play a Titan.
I'll do Warlock because I know Steven's a hunter.
So how do you want to do this? Should we just read
through? Let's just read them
individually. Yeah. Titan Sentinel's Code of the Commander. Melees cause explosions, but all void ability damage also attaches a void detonator, and any subsequent damage causes the detonator to go off and attach detonators to enemy caught in the explosion.
Interesting. So like the detonator blows up, then attaches.
Blows up. Oh my gosh.
That's going to be fun.
Grenade energy partially recharges for you and nearby allies when detonators trigger.
All right. Secondary effects.
Yeah. Banner shield can still be used for offense like normal, but holding guard creates a barrier wall of light that absorbs enemy attacks, but allows allies' attacks to pass through. So a lot more like, well, actually, no, not like the original Titan shield. Okay. Mm. That's interesting.
So, melees cause explosions. So this is your punchy class, right?
Yeah, David? Well, this is actually something I brought up, which is like back when everyone rolled Titan for the first time, like one of the on the Striker Titan, it says like in close quarters, a fist is better than any gun. And I was like, oh, snap. Like this is the class that's going to be up close and personal, heavily armored. And then we were kind of betrayed when we got like their little T-Rex swinging arms, like with little range. Yeah, like this is to counteract that. Like this, now your melee seem really, really powerful.
This reinforces the archetype of the melee Titan, right? And we've seen it with the synthesis that they've been kind of messing around with. And that I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to see Titans punching bosses to death with this. That's going to be cool.
Like this seems like a really solid PvE class.
Yeah.
For PvP, I still think I'd rather have the Overshield melee.
Something with range.
Yeah, because like the one that's really popular right now is you get a melee kill and you get an overshield plus your teammates do. So that's probably still better in PvP. But the void detonators and all that sounds pretty awesome. And then you can hold your shield like Captain America and people behind you can shoot through it. That's awesome.
Yeah, because like on current Defender Titans, on current Sentinel Titans, you can spec to on the left trigger if you're on console, your secondary ability is a shield.
Yeah.
And it's really great defensively, but you can't do anything while you're holding it.
Yeah.
So if your teammates can stand in it as well and shoot through it, oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really neat. What do you got next? This one, Steven, might like a little more.
Titan Sunbreaker's Code of the Devastator. Throw your hammer with the melee button, but it remains in the world. Risk retrieving it where it fell to fully recharge your melee ability and trigger health regen. The more solar ability kills you get, the higher your damage, up to 3x. Whoa, that sounds really cool.
Interesting.
So it's not like you're not just like hucking hella hammers.
Mm-hmm. You got one.
Triple H, hucking hella hammers. You have one hammer that you can like retrieve after throwing it, and doing so gives you like passive bonuses. That's
I like that.
Cool.
I like that.
Actually, not even a passive bonus, an active trigger regen. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Health regen.
And then a little note here about
Siege Hammer creates a flaming maul that hits like an earthquake and leaves behind flame tornadoes. That's
okay.
So
okay.
Cool.
I think we saw that one a little bit in the trailer,
saw that
right?
In the Vidoc. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the hammer part is awesome. Like,
yeah.
And that's not your super. That's just like your regular melee.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just your regular melee. Throw your hammer with the melee button, but it remains in the world. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
That's really, really, really interesting.
Arranged melee on Titan sounds awesome.
We've never had anything like that in Destiny.
Yeah.
So that's
suck it throwing knives.
Yeah.
Titan Striker's Code of the Missile. While airborne, melee to slam into the ground like a bunker buster and gain super energy for your trouble. If you pick up ammo while sliding, you automatically reload your equipped weapon and increase weapon damage for a short time. This is cool. I played this in the at E3. Mm-hmm. It feels – I'm of two minds on it, but it feels really good.
At first, I was a little weird out because your jumping was a little altered.
Well, also
in the build we were playing. But once I got used to it, I really, really enjoyed this subclass.
So I think it's really effective at killing – enemies because it does massive AoE damage when you do it. I don't like that it removes your air shoulder charge traversal.
Yeah.
Like, which totally I use literally all the time.
But I like that we have to make that call.
Yeah, totally. You know? You're right. Actually, you're right because it's maybe something you can spec, like for PvE versus PvP.
Whatever. Yeah.
Thundercrash sends you hurtling great distances like a missile to hit a target area like a meteor strike.
And we got to experience this, Sean. This is the one where you can literally go.
You can Superman around. It's really crazy. Superman.
You can just sort of fly around and then choose
like
where
the
you
first
want
time
land.
I activated it, it took me by surprise because you're moving really fast. Yeah. And I'm just like, whoa, my God. And I ran into a wall. Mm-hmm. But a very well-timed and planned super, man, you can get like. You would be able to do a crazy amount of damage.
Oh, definitely, definitely. All right, Steven, you'll take the Hunter.
That's cool.
So you'll be reading for us on the Hunter subclass changes.
All right.
What do you got?
Let's talk about the Hunter Nightstalker's Way of the Wraith. Your melee smoke bomb heavily damages and slows those in its path. Nail the perfect precision kill against the foe to vanish and gain true sight. Spectral Blades, which is the super, drops you into a veil of shadows to slip behind foes and stab them before they know you're even there.
We've seen this one in the Vidox, and I think we got to play this one during E3. Yes. Really, really fun super.
So
really
what's
cool.
Interesting, though, is the build at E3, your melee wasn't a smoke. So that's different.
Mm.
There was no smoke on the E3 build.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I made sure to test that out. And nailing the perfect precision kill against a foe definitely did not vanish you at E3. So that sounds really cool. That could be like a really good PvP class.
When it says precision kill, what does that mean? Like with a gun or with?
Yeah, with a gun, I guess.
How were people going invis at E3 then? Did they just use
you
the
pop dodge? Your super and then you could do an uppercut and then you turn invis.
Ah, which is how you normally do it.
Yeah, so it's sort of
like even back in D1.
So it's it's like a mix of Blade Dancer, but you're a Night Stalker. And then I'm really curious to see your melee smoke bomb heavily damages and slows those in its path. So like in Destiny 1, there was a damage over time with your smoke, if you guys remember.
It was very light though.
Yeah, and in Destiny 2, you don't do any damage over time. So if this brings
that
back. But it
does really slow you and totally blind you.
Yeah.
New raid challenge for the viewers, all smoke bomb kills.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm super excited about that. But
So we have all punches for the Titans and then all smoke bombs.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Hunter Gunslinger's Way of 1,000 Cuts. Mm. Oh, jeez. Knife trick melees fling out a fan of burning blades. I have no idea what that means. In turn,
that's where he jumps in the air and he goes. Whew.
But this is like just your passive. This isn't your super. So
In
turn, killing burning enemies recharges your knife trick, and burning enemies also recharge your dodge.
Nice.
Oh,
they're amping up the power a lot.
Yeah,
that's great.
Blade barrage doubles down on your knife skills to expel a volley of explosive kills. So that's the thing we saw at the Vidoc.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah. Throwing knives galore. That sounds really, really fun.
Yeah.
That's one of the most rewarding kills you get as a hunter, right? When you hit that edge.
Yeah. Like, so I, my second class in D1 was a hunter.
Yeah.
And, like when people are running at you and you're just like knife to the head and it one shot.
Oh, you don't have a shield. Whew.
Dude, it would even one shot them with a shield.
Oh, really?
Knife headshots.
So, I think you had to spec for it.
I think so.
You had to spec for it, I think.
Yeah. You had to spec for it.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. What was the question?
In D1, wasn't a throwing knife headshot a one-shot kill?
Yeah, that was one of the abilities.
Even with the shield? I think it was.
With the shield? No.
Really?
Yeah, you had to take him down a little bit to get that.
Yeah, you had to take it down a little bit.
That's what I thought.
It's been a long time.
But it sounds like with this, you use your throwing knife, kill an enemy, and then you get your knife back and your dodge back.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds really cool. That's really good synergy. Let's talk about Hunter Arcstrider's Way of the Current. Slide before a melee to unleash a staff-powered uppercut. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And any melee hits increase your reload speed. All your arc abilities electrify your enemies, and subsequent melee strikes disorient them and refuel your abilities. Use your staff super like normal if desired, but Whirlwind Guard means that you can guard by spinning your staff. We saw that in the Vidoc.
Yep.
Reflecting back projectiles and tripling your staff's damage afterwards.
Ah, sounds like they nerfed Arcstrider.
Dude, sarcasm. That is awesome.
That sounds really, really good.
Sick.
Sounds good. Slide before a melee to unleash a staff-powered uppercut. So that's kind of fun because now, while you're not in super mode, you still have some versatility. Yeah, so
We're going to see like a new animation of the dude uppercutting.
Yeah, I like that.
That's cool.
I like that a lot.
Man, I like all these sound awesome.
I hope you like home run bats people into the moon.
Yeah,
like,
that would be awesome.
Hit them straight up in the air, like uppercut.
Like, I'm reading this and I'm thinking to myself, why would I use the classes we have now?
I know,
I'm sure,
right?
There's going to be scenarios where you would use them.
I hope Golden, all of them are balanced.
Golden Gun's not going to go away. Night Stalker's not going to go away for the increased damage output, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't know why you would use current Arcstrider versus this. That's going to be the interesting one to see.
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
All right, Warlock, that's me. That was my first class in Destiny 1, and I did Vault of Glass with my Warlock, and it was terrifying. The perfect run where you can't die or anything. That was really, really fun. Not really, but I did it. So let's go over it. Warlock, Voidwalker's Attunement of Fission. A new Atomic Breach melee ability creates a void explosion at range. While holding the grenade button down, creates a short-range area explosion supernova. Any void ability kills now heal you and grant ability energy. Sounds pretty good. So a melee creates an explosion, and you can hold the grenade button to create a short-range supernova. I wonder how short range that's going to be.
I wonder how long range the void explosion at range is. Think if you're if you're in PvP and you know an enemy is around the corner and you could just start charging it and then pop out and detonate it and walk away. Like,
that
sounds crazy.
That would be pretty fun.
What if it's like a one hit kill?
Oh man, that would be, it won't be though, right? It can't be. No grenades are one hit kills, right?
Nova Warp empowers you with transdimensional hopping abilities, letting you repeatedly teleport short distances and then erupt in a burst of energy.
So we saw this in the Vidoc
as well.
This was
the focus beam?
No.
This is the one where he blinks around and then goes Super Saiyan at the
end. That's right. He self detonates basically.
Yeah, and one of the Bungie devs does the sound effects and it's like, pew, pew, pew. It's really cool.
I wonder if you can time when you erupt. Like, if you have to,
Probably before your super runs out, right?
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah. Like,
if this happens at the end of your super.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping
either
you can
when
time
it runs
it.
Out, it'll do it. Or
you could troll people. Like, you could just keep hopping around them and they just explode on them.
Warlock Stormcaller's Attunement of Control. Tap the melee button to fling out a long-distance electricity ball that eventually detonates and flings a lightning bolt straight downward. Interesting. Arc kills sometimes create ionic traces, a spark of raw arc energy that travels across the ground towards you, which can be collected to recharge abilities.
That sounds crazy.
So, yeah, not only do you get something that can be utilized to hurt people, but you can recollect it. Sort of like the hammer mechanic, right?
Yeah, it kind of seems a running theme with some of these.
I like that. Now, Chaos Reach fires a long-range blue beam of intense and focused damage dealing, which can be deactivated early to save energy. So you can, do it, stop, do it the other way.
That's really cool.
That's what it sounds like anyway, right?
Well, to me, it sounds
you cue it,
halfway.
Then you stop.
Yeah, and then you have half your super.
Oh,
that sounds pretty cool.
That's really nice.
Dude, that's awesome.
Like if you're melting a boss and you're like, all right, I killed him. You can just sort of stop. Or if you're in PvP.
You don't have to waste your entire super bar. That sounds cool.
That's going to be really, really good in PvP, I think. We'll see. Warlock's Dawnblade Attunement of Grace melee attacks burn bad guys, but empower allies. Transform your grenade by holding the button into a blessing, a projectile that heals allies and drops retrievable overshield orbs.
What?
That
so that was at
you,
E3.
On the fly.
That was at E3.
Switch.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They always said, I remember when we did the original Destiny 1 IGN first, they said they don't want people to have to go in there, hide behind a rock and go in the menu. And what do throughout Destiny? You go in your menu and you're constantly swapping your abilities. This is nice that it's just sort of mapped to a button. So Well of Radiance. Ah, I got to use this one at E3 and it was very confusing. Well of Radiance, slam your solar sword into the ground, creating a wide radius aura that rapidly heals and empowers your friends. Any ability that heals or empowers helps regen your non-super abilities. So I wasn't sure what this was at first. It has an area of effect when you slam down,
yeah.
And then anybody that stands in it, you have increased damage output. So this is more like staking your ground and then nuking the enemy, yeah. Which is probably seems... why we nuked the primeval so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Seems very PvE oriented. Like, can you imagine that super during Atheon, like when everyone goes to that center plate?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Center plate or even on Spire right now, if you're doing shotgun method,
you put
this down.
Yeah, right on the platform behind him and just like...
Yeah, this seems like a really cool PvE.
I think they've said something about this, but what if you put that down, then you put the damage buffers down, and you just nuke the boss?
Dude, I think that's what they're doing.
No, I mean, if you have two warlocks, and one doesn't have this super.
I mean, even just across the classes, like the idea of like having one class person who's going to lend the whole raid or group support abilities that buffs our output or our survivability, like damage output, like that's so awesome. Like what I want is for me, like the two titans in our group to fulfill different roles for the raid, like have that level of specialization and contribution. Like that's so cool. And that sounds like kind of what they're going for with each of these new classes.
And the grenade ability it has it sounds super cool. Like you're basically giving overshields to your allies.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like I wonder if
you're basically the support class.
I'm wondering if you have the Luna faction boots on and you use your super, does that count? That'd be cool.
Oh, you're the support really cool class for the warlock. It's kind of like what the hunter is right now. Because you can't kill anybody in PvP, but you can nuke their supers. Awesome.
These supers sound fantastic.
Really, really excited to try them out for ourselves. I like that a lot.
We've tried some of them.
Yeah, we tried three of them.
Yeah.
Three, right?
Yeah.
And they were early versions, so I can't wait to see how they've been refined.
What's your favorite?
So far, easy call for me, Superman Titan Slam.
Superman Titan?
Yeah. Out of the ones we've played?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the one we played.
So the only thing I didn't like about that is when you're in the air and you hit your melee and you do the mini slam, even if you don't hit anything, you lose your slam.
Yeah.
So I wish, unless, if you didn't hit anything, I think you should still keep your charge.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, they might have changed it, but that was...
That's how it worked at E3.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't love Warlock right now. It's probably one of my least used classes, but that Chaos Reach ability sounds really, really cool. The fact
Goku
that you
ability?
Just, yeah, you just... You go Super Saiyan and you throw your Hadouken or whatever you want to call it until you turn it off. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it...
Stalker for me.
Yeah. I hope it just does an absurd amount of damage because it's like a beam, right? So, like, if it works similar to a trace rifle where, like, the longer you hold it, the more damage it does, but it does, like, even if... It's starting damage, does like tons of damage. That'd be really cool.
Well, I wonder what time to kill is going to be with it. Like, if you're hitting a guardian in PvP, like I shoot it at you, it's got to be like a second or less.
I mean, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Break the game, right? If it touches you, you die.
Do you guys remember in the Vidoc, I think, I forgot who it was. I think it was the guy who makes all the cool sound effects.
Yeah.
He said this one is probably going to break the game.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, just imagine everybody using this in PvP. You get into a match and it's just like,
or in like everywhere.
Wouldn't it be cool? Oh my God. Like, I just had like a, what if it was like a Goku Vegeta moment where two warlocks like beam each other and you have to like button mash to like overpower the beams?
Oh, dude, that would be cool.
I don't know how that would work, but that would be really cool.
I want somebody to recut the episode. Every time we do hands, just lasers are shooting everywhere.
Well, you can have six beams on the raid boss. Like, how cool would that look?
Oh, yeah. Just that would look from all angles.
Yeah, that would look awesome.
Remember that dance team that would do coordinated dances? What if they were, like, all warlocks?
Dude, this
that
is
would
awesome.
Be really, really fun.
Yeah, yeah. I'm super excited. Yeah. Night Stalker is definitely my favorite. Sounds awesome.
I didn't plan out this final segment. I just wanted to ask you guys. I've been thinking a lot about my hatred for faction rallies and how they could be improved. They've actually asked for ways that they couldn't be improved last week. So I really started thinking about it and I have some ideas. I don't know if you guys have any, but I'll kind of talk so that you can think about it for a little bit of a second. And if they're going to stick with the lost faction route, I think it would be more compelling if we had a reason to clear all of the lost sectors instead of farming one. Like right now it's go to your public event, maybe kill a wandering boss, then go clear a lost sector with your renown. I really don't like the renown mechanic. I would rather that there was a compelling reason to clear all the lost sectors on a planet. And then once you save that planet for the faction rally duration, then you go to all the other planets. By the way, I think you should be able to pledge to all three at any time you want and constantly be leveling them up. And then perhaps this liberation mechanic with the lost sectors gives you a reason, A, to explore and find the lost sectors, a terribly underutilized gameplay mechanic. And it would be – I think it would be a much more fun way. Maybe they could even have a cutscene when you liberate a planet or a big boss that spawns for you and your crew in sort of a locked-off area that you would then have to defeat to – you know, save Titan, for example, if you were to clear them all on Titan. Did you guys have any other small notes? They were asking for feedback about the mechanic.
Admittedly, I didn't do too much of the faction rallies.
I don't think any of us did because they weren't that fun.
Yeah, but the one thing I definitely didn't like when I was doing it was like I'm very used to fast traveling around to public events, like to make the most of the time that you're in the overworld. And yeah, it's like the first time you do it, it's like if you do this, you lose your renown. And I was like, wait, why?
Yeah.
And it's just a simple like, okay, well now I have to hop on my Sparrow and drive my ass over there. Like that sucks. So that I didn't like about it, but I still like the idea of faction rallies being tied to overworld events because, like, lost sectors is something I would never do.
Yeah.
And now, like, they're driving me to them, and you know what? They're actually kind of short and cool. Like, it would be – I like the idea that they're doing that.
I got the challenge of get five renown and then go in, and I did it solo. And I'm okay, I get what they're doing here. They want to, like, add weight to doing these lost sectors. But it still was more of an annoyance that I couldn't fast travel, and then I'm still just collecting tokens and putting them in. They did say armor is going to be purchasable later, but right now it's just like, well, I'm just working to unlock my ornaments, and I don't care much about that.
Yeah, I mean, if it was something not ornament based, like the way I hate this, the way World of Warcraft is that how did like encouraging players to. Like who are already at the end game to go back into the overworld was a really tough thing for them. And eventually what they ended up doing was they made the rewards that you gain from doing overworld specific things like factions in the world. They made those really, really awesome. So it was like extremely difficult to earn them. You had to spend a lot of time in that zone doing the lost sectors or whatever it would be, the World of Warcraft equivalent dungeons and stuff. But once you finally got there, one, you got a unique title that no one else had or only the people who had gone to that level had. And there were these specific rewards that were tied to the lore for that section. And because they were really hard to earn, once you got them, you actually felt very achieved.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like I can't think of a single vendor faction thing like, you know, from Nessus or from IO or for whatever that has gear that I actually care about or desire. If they did, then maybe I would spend more time there.
Yeah. Like I'm like have a ton of tokens from all those places. And the only time I used them was to like level up my character faster during Warmind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steven, do you have any notes?
I think you're onto something with this whole Lost Sector thing.
Yeah. This is just a small part of my idea. I'm like, okay, they want to utilize the Lost Sector. Here's one way you can improve the Lost Sector experience. And once you liberate one planet, go to the other planet. Then you can continue your adventure.
Yeah. I think if they did something like if you complete 15 different Lost Sectors.
Yeah.
So you have to do – you can't do the same one over again.
Yeah.
You get like 100 tokens.
Yeah.
Like give us a reward that is substantial. Like one of the daily milestones is complete, I think it's like 5 Crucible matches.
Yeah.
But after you complete it, you get like 10, 15 tokens. I don't know the exact number. But that to me is not worth that time. Mm-hmm. Like if I was actually trying to get to 50, I'd do the Lost Sector grind, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. So give us things like do 5 different adventures or stuff like that. And you get
and
like
adventures are actually pretty good.
Yeah, they tell a lot of the story. Or you can do like 10 or 5 Crucible matches. Yeah. And you get like 50 tokens. Give us like a substantial reward.
I like the additional narrative we got in Warmind with the adventures. I talked about it in my review, and I didn't see a lot of people commenting on that. And it's really a shame because there's no incentivization to do adventures, really.
Yeah.
They tried to do it with Curse of Osiris, and that kind of worked because we got the shotgun. But beyond that, it's just kind of like, eh.
And like for this season, we only have 3 faction rallies. Mm-hmm. So if you miss out one faction rally, you're kind of screwed. Because there's 3 factions.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them do it maybe 6 times a season.
Yeah.
I don't mind that you can only do 1 faction per account because that makes me focus on 1 faction.
Yeah.
Also, we've been talking a lot about player choice, right? Mm-hmm. And like risk reward. Like you want to choose a faction that one has the reward you want. It makes it just a more empowered choice.
Definitely. Yeah. So like it, six faction rallies, one faction per account. And then give us a lot of like checklists, like 10 adventurers, 10 lost sectors. You get a ton
of
tokens.
Do the raid. Yes. Checklist.
Do the raid. Yeah. Like if you do every single raid layer and the raid, you get like 1,000 tokens or something like that.
I'll keep going with my thought process on this. I want to focus on the lost sectors. We really got to get out of here though. We have another production coming in and I'm actually excited about that too. So, thank you guys for joining me on the show today. Thank you for listening. Come say hi if you're at Guardian Con. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.